We are in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. And the title of this morning's message is How Ragamuffins Achieve Maturity. You might be thinking, what is a ragamuffin? We'll get to that really quickly here. Ragamuffin. Not a blueberry muffin. Banana nut muffin, but it's a ragamuffin, okay? It's a ragamuffin. I'm going to read our passage, and then we're going to get to it. We're going to flip it around a little bit. You notice there, you'll notice really quickly that what I've done is move the last verses to the front. And then we'll go down from 12 to 14 after, but 15 and 16 will come first. But let me read our passage this morning, pray, and then we'll get into it, okay? Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning to come together as this congregation. We thank you that in Christ Jesus, we can know you and have a relationship with you. And thank you for this local body, which we call our church. And thank you for the opportunity to corporately worship you together this morning. We ask that we continue to do that as we gather around your word. And may the Holy Spirit open our eyes and minds to the truth of it, that we may be transformed more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, a ragamuffin, okay? Actually, I don't want to start there. I want to set the table for us. It's been a while since we've been here in Philippians, and I want to kind of give you the context of where Paul is and where he's coming from, okay? This church was established by Paul, okay? And he has a very intimate relationship with this church. And so this is about 10 years later after founding this church and his interactions with it. And in between those 10 years, he's visited at least a couple of times since then. And now we find Paul in prison, okay? And he's writing this letter to this church from prison. And he wants them to understand just how dear they are to him and his life and his ministry. He calls them partners. And that word is fellowship, okay, in the things of the gospel. So these are people that are near and dear to Paul. And one of the key things, there are several key things he wants them to be reminded of. One is that to continue to pursue the things of Christ. And you'll see that over and over again repeated throughout this letter, that our joy, our peace comes from the fact of having a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ. Another thing that he wants them to be reminded of is unity. He'll mention that over and over again. In fact, later on in chapter 4, he calls out a couple of the older ladies and calls them to be united for the sake of the gospel. And he also reminds them of the purity of the gospel, that it is not through works. It is through the grace of God that we are all saved. And in this section, he's calling us to one of those key themes, okay? And that is to continue to pursue the things of Christ. Okay, we're going to see that that is his life pulse. Okay, and the section before will really transition into this section here. And namely, in verses 10 through 11, he really outlines the kind of the theme of his life, the kind of the tenor of how he wants to live. And that is to know Jesus, okay? And that is what he's going to call us to. So I gave you the punchline already. That's it, okay? But we're going to see how that breaks down in what he's saying here in these six verses, okay? Now, with that said, okay, how does a man like Paul, okay? Now, understand, it's been about 10 years that he's been having this relationship with this church, but it's been 25 years since he began his relationship with Jesus Christ, okay, on the road to Damascus and where he encountered Jesus and was forever changed, okay? And so these words are springing forth after 25 years of walking and fellowshipping with Jesus Christ, okay? So that's the mindset I want us to have here. Okay, this is no spring chicken that we're talking about, that this is just a newly formed relationship that he's had with Jesus Christ. But it's been 25 years. Some of you guys are not 25 years yet alive on this planet. Okay, and here it's been about 25 years or so that Paul has walked with the Lord. And this is what he is entreating, commanding, encouraging, exhorting the Philippian believers toward. And that is an ever-deepening relationship with Jesus Christ. Now we're to the ragamuffin, okay? I really believe one of the key things that moves Paul and gives him this fiery, persistent, persevering passion is a very clear self-view of who he is before God. Okay? And I believe it's described there in our title as a ragamuffin. Okay? A ragamuffin. Now, you guys familiar with this term? Have you heard this term before? It's an English term.
Well, obviously.
Okay. Right? The Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it as this, okay? A ragged, often disreputable person, okay? Especially a poorly clothed, often dirty child. Okay, that's what a ragamuffin is, okay? It's a ragged, often disreputable person, okay? And I really believe that Paul, in his self-estimation, really understood himself as a ragamuffin, okay? The persistent, fiery, passionate life of Paul sprang forth from a healthy view of his position before he had Jesus Christ. In Luke 18:13, he said, the tax collector Nicodemus says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus says this of his ministry. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Spiritual vitality, the spiritual passion, springs forth from desperation, a healthy form of desperation here. It's a spiritual desperation. I think after even 25 years, Paul had a healthy view of his position. He's not the great apostle that we all see, but he considers himself the least of all. And that's where he gets this persistent passion from. Okay? So we start off there, that we need to understand that we are coming from a position of minus, of not that I've earned anything, but I'm still coming from a position of not there. Okay, and we're going to see that here. All right, well, let's get to the text. Okay, so how ragamuffins achieve maturity? Look at verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Okay? What Paul is after here is maturity. What we're after here this morning is maturity. Okay? That's our goal. Okay? And what is it this way? What is Paul talking about when he's saying it's this way? It is to pursue the things of Christ. Okay? It is verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. Okay. Verse 10 and 11 really informs the rest of this section here. Okay. Verse 12, not have I already obtained this. This is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and that is to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Okay? Those that are going to continue to press on toward the things of Christ, that is maturity. Okay? Now, I was at the market the other day, and I was at Costco, and they have a big section of watermelons over there, and it looked tempting, but you just never know if it's going to be really sweet or not. And so people have their methods. I saw one man just going up to it and bump, 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 doing the whole tapping the watermelon thing. I don't know what he's hearing for, but don't, just to see if it's ready, okay? Some people just hold it up, smell it, and I've tried it all. Can't figure it out, okay? People go in great length to see whether this watermelon is ripe and ready or not. Okay, just a little illustration there, okay? Right now, what we want is to determine, how do we determine whether we are pursuing maturity or not? Okay? Look there at ragamuffin agreement, okay? Let those of us who are mature think this way. This word think is to consider. It's to ratify. It's to come to an agreement. Okay? And we're trying to consider, what does it mean to think about maturity and what it is? Okay? So one of the first things we want to understand is that it's maturity that we're after and not success. Okay? Maturity is a little bit different than success. Now, I think most of us can kind of identify with success, okay? Success is really, it's graspable. Is that a word, okay? but it's something that we can attain. And we usually associate that with enough money in the bank account or getting to a certain position in place and in life, okay, where we kind of go up the social ladder, okay? And it's every day we can understand whether we're going to achieve it or not, okay? And, I have many friends, okay? But one of my, I don't want to actually call him out here, but because many of you know him, okay? But it's a guy that works in the finance industry, and it's nobody in here, by the way, okay? But he was telling me that, in his desire to really succeed and achieve, there was a great price to pay, okay? Now, he worked in the finance industry, and so he was working on the East Coast time when the markets open, okay? And so often he's up by 4:30, okay, and in the office by 5 or shortly thereafter, okay? And often not getting home until after 7, 8, or 9 o'clock, okay? And, he was telling me there were times when he would literally cry, okay? It was so hard, okay? The life was so hard because of the hours and the stress and, the number of things that come with being in this industry. And so, he caught himself literally just crying, okay? Now he got through that period. Now he's already semi-retired. He's my age. Man, I wish I could be semi-retired. I'm only 47, and he's in the office like half the time now. Okay, but for him, there were measurables. In order to understand whether he was succeeding or not, okay? And so we, in our lives, we're able to do that, okay? We're able to pursue things that are kind of tangible to us, okay? Especially our careers, okay? What I think we need to get in the habit of, though, is trying to do that with our spiritual lives, okay? And try to understand what then is spiritual maturity. Because many of us are willing to pay the price of success, of material success. And you have. Okay, I'm not downplaying that. Okay, it's hard work. Okay, but is there a reciprocal effort in regards to our spiritual endeavors, and namely toward spiritual maturity? And that's what we mean by here under point A, okay? Is, are we after spiritual maturity, okay? Because what Paul is saying here is, for those of us who are mature, okay, and desire maturity, okay, this is what we're going to seek. Okay, this is the way that we are going to think. Okay, we all need to get on the same page. Okay, we all have different ideas about life and the pursuits of life and what we ought to be going after. Okay, but here clearly we want to see that it ought to be the things of spiritual maturity. Am I living to know Christ? Okay. All right. That's the first thing. So all of us this morning need to consider and be in agreement to pursue maturity. The second thing that we see in verse 16, now I know I skipped a phrase there and I get back to it. But the second thing is that we need to live it out. And live it out together. Look at verse 16. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And what have we attained? All the things that Paul has laid out before, okay? Right. All the things that he said before in this letter. All the things in the 10-year relationship that he has over and over again reminded this group of believers to pursue. And that is Christ, okay? But notice here, okay, he puts it out in a very, not unique, but specific way. And that is, let us hold true that it is a group endeavor, okay? That spiritual maturity, that spiritual striving happens within the context of each other, okay? It's not just an individual act, but it is something that we do together. That is the importance of the local body, okay? Paul is saying here, don't lose ground. Don't go backwards, but hold on to the things of Christ, to the things that we have attained, and do it together, okay? I don't know if you've heard the term Lone Ranger Christian, and you probably not hear it from somebody younger, but someone older like myself, you're going to get it. Lone Ranger was a TV series. And it's just what it's like what it, you hear, okay? He was a ranger, okay? He's like a police officer in the Old West, okay? And he used to catch bad guys by himself. That's why he was called the Lone Ranger. Just cultural information there, okay? But some of us want to be the good guy. That's great, okay? But we want to try to do it ourselves. And what we're saying here is it doesn't happen that way, okay? We need to bear each other's burdens. We need to pursue Christ and life together, okay? One of the more difficult things that we found out as missionaries in Thailand was community life. It was very different dynamic, okay? We worked in a city in Chiang Mai. It's full of missionaries. It's a missionary hub. There are many of the missions organizations move there after Hong Kong was given over back to China, okay? And so you have a great influx of missionaries, but because although there are a lot of Christians in that city, everyone's doing their own thing, right? They're missionaries. They're trying to, you know, preach the gospel to all the surrounding nations like Myanmar and Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam. It's kind of a central hub, okay? And one of the more difficult things that we experienced as a family was community. And not just us, but just people that are in Chiang Mai that are kind of based there and not just use it as a platform to go to other countries, but just continue to stay there. That's one of the lasting problems, issues, was community, okay? Was to do life and ministry together. Okay. If you're part of this church, take advantage of it. Okay. Do life and ministry together because that's how it was designed to be. Okay. That's another sign of maturity, by the way. Okay. Is that we would continue to pursue the things of Christ, not just internally, not just as an individual. And really, that was one of the short-sightedness of the monastic movement, where, you know, people were going into the desert. Shortly after Christ, about 200 years after Christ, there was this great movement of people literally leaving all of this world because they didn't want to be a part of this world, which is great, okay? They got it. They got that part, okay? And many men and women moved to the desert and kind of live ascetic lives, okay? And again, you get the heart of it. It is to pursue Christ and Him alone, okay? But really, you're missing a big component of being a follower of Christ. And that is to enjoy fellowship, to enjoy the ability to do life with one another, okay? So that's the ragamuffin agreement. If we're going to achieve maturity, that has to be the goal. It has to be lived out together. And look here at the middle phrase here. And if in anything you think otherwise, in verse 15, God will reveal that also to you. Okay? Paul is saying here, is God will by any means, whether it's through His word, through the natural process of sanctification, discipline, His grace will illumine those that think differently and will be persuaded to Paul's way of thinking. You get what Paul is saying here? Okay. Even if you think differently, really, I firmly believe that God's going to move you in a way to think the way that I think. Okay. So for those of us this morning that we're not thinking about spiritual maturity, God's going to move you. Okay. If you are His child, if you name Jesus as your Savior and Lord, okay, God will by His word, by the natural means of sanctification, and that is to continue to grow in the things of Christ and of Jesus, He's going to reveal that to you. And He's going to bring you to this place right here. And that is to seek maturity. Okay. So that's our goal. Okay. That's our goal. Now, have you ever heard the expression, if you don't have a goal, you're going to hit it every time. Okay, well, we got a goal today, okay? And that's what I want us to keep in mind as we go through the rest of this section, starting in verse 12, okay? And how does a ragamuffin achieve maturity? First of all, we're setting after the goal of it. Secondly, verse 12 to 13, there's an attitude behind it. Okay, there's an attitude behind it. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this. What is this? We already said that. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Okay. That's humility. Okay. Look at 13a. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. We're talking about Paul here, 25 years into the ministry, the founder of numerous churches, been stoned, been whipped, been lost out at sea. And yet, he understands his position. I'm not there yet. I have not obtained this. I do not consider that I have made it my own. Okay. That is the context here. Okay. If ever we think that we have arrived, we're lost. You're actually lost. Okay. There needs to be a spiritual hunger. And it comes from, again, this position of spiritual deficiency. I need Jesus because I'm a sinner. I need Him every day. There's a continual abiding dependence on Jesus. That's the attitude. That's the attitude that Paul had. That's the attitude we need. If we're going to grow in the things of Christ, we need to be humble. We need to be hungry, okay? And acknowledge our constant acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. I want to share with you something that he's passed away, but he's with the Lord now. And again, many of you may know him, but it was John Kim Sr., okay? And I used to go to him when I was a seminary student for my taxes because he was an accountant, okay? And for a number of us, he would do the taxes free, okay? Now, after some years, after we were able to have some income, we would try to pay him, okay? And often he would not receive it, okay? But one of the things that really stuck with me when he was talking about his marriage, okay? Now, understand, this is an older gentleman, okay? For those of you guys who don't know him, he was at least in his 70s at that time. And I was newly married, okay? And he was asking me, well, you know what, Dave, how do you love Esther? How do you love your wife? You know, what do you do to show that you love her? Okay. And I was like, what? You know, I've just been married like a year or two. Okay. And how come you asking me? I mean, he's been married for years. Okay. And he's asking me about how I love my wife. Okay. And because he says this, he goes, you know, because I need to learn from you young guys. You know, because sometimes I feel like I'm not loving my wife. Okay. I go, man, that's humility. Okay. That's saying that I haven't arrived. That's saying I'm still learning. Okay. And this is the attitude of Paul. This is what our attitudes need to be. Okay. I'm hungry. Okay. Because I need him. I depend on him. Okay? Not only humility. Look at there. 13b. Okay? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Okay? It's forward-looking, okay? Paul consistently shows that he has a short memory, okay? Paul had a lot of defeats in ministry, okay? As we've been going through Acts, there were times when he was not able to establish a church, okay? But then we see also his many ministry successes. Countless, numerous, okay? And yet he's not resting on either one of those things, okay? And that's the attitude here, okay? Is he's always looking to the goal of maturity in Jesus Christ, okay? I like to ask this question when I meet with many of you. And if you haven't heard me ask you this question, then it's forthcoming. And the question I'll ask is, when is it that you were the most excited for the Lord Jesus Christ? And sad to say, for those that were saved, relatively young in their lives, high school or college, okay? Often the answer is when I was in college. When I was in college was when I was on the most fire for the Lord. That's kind of sad. Because most of you guys that I'm talking to, you guys are in your 30s, you guys are in your 40s. okay? How about now? Okay. Often we're looking back to a time when we were spiritually on fire. That's great. Okay. What about now? Okay. What about now? Paul is straining, and he's straining just to go. Go after Christ. He's hungry after Christ now. Okay? Third part of that attitude. Look at the last phrase in verse 12. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. This attitude springs forth from the realization of what Jesus did for Paul. So this was the abiding attitude that Paul had. It's just, I need him every day. And you know why I need him? Because he moved me. I didn't reach out for him. He grabbed me first. I was seized by Christ, and now I seize him. You see the action that's going on here? He was seized. Handshakes. Boom. Handshakes, right? We shake our hands often here. You know, many forms of ways of greeting each other. But here, we mostly handshake, at least with the guys, okay? With the ladies, some of us do the side hug, all right? Some of you guys do the boom, you know, bring it in, you know, that type of thing, okay? Now, when I was being taught how to make a handshake, the handshake needs to be firm, right? You, boom, right? there's a couple of you guys in here, when I shake your hand, you literally crush my hand. You know? Those are called the bone crushers, okay? Boom, okay? And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I know I've been seized when I shake those brothers' hands. And you know who I'm talking about, okay? And I shake one of your hands this morning, and you crush my hand. You know? But the handshake that we all want to avoid is what? It's the dead fish hand, right? It's the jellyfish hand, right? It's like, hi. Okay? Again, the reason why I bring this up, look, Christ has seized me. And so now I return the grip. Okay? That's all we're doing. The motivation for Paul and his ministry sprang forth from a quiet desperation of needing Jesus every moment and every day, looking forward to him every day. Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, thank you for the breath that I breathe now. You know, we feel like we got, you know, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So we pursue Jesus with all our heart, all our being today. Okay? All right. Lastly, the ragamuffin action. Okay? If you want to achieve Maturity. Seek maturity. You have the right attitude. And you have the right action. Okay, look at verse 12. But I press on to make it my own. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing. Now, he's using the athletic terms, okay? And throughout this passage, there's many terms of a race. There's many terms of athletics. There's many terms of military, okay? Of just being, going after and seizing the prize of Jesus Christ, okay? And what we're talking about here is when Paul is saying press, it's a definite, present, ongoing action. You see there the two subpoints. There's passion and perseverance associated with it. Now, I don't know if you guys heard this TED Talk a while back. Hold on here. It's in my notes. Here it is. This is a TED Talk by Angela Lee Duckworth back in April 2013. She was a math teacher, okay? And in this talk, she was trying to understand what makes one student more successful than the other, okay? And one of the things that she learned was that IQ does not necessarily determine success, okay? And so what she wanted to understand was understand education from a motivational perspective. So she went to West Point to observe the cadets. She went to the National Spelling Bee. She went to study rookie teachers in the most difficult neighborhoods. She studied salespeople that are just starting off on their jobs. And what she found was kind of a common thread throughout. It wasn't social intelligence, it wasn't IQ, it wasn't looks. Okay? It was grit. Okay? And she entitled it The Power of Passion and Perseverance. Okay. And so when they identified that, they said, well, how then do you build grit? And the short answer is, they don't know. Okay. Now, if you have children, it's amazing to see how different they are, okay? And, you know, especially in regards to academics or sports or anything in life, okay? Some are very just nonchalant, and some are very motivated. It's like, what? Where does that come from? Okay? Because I'm not a soccer dad, okay? It's like, if you want to do it, you know, your mom will take you. Okay. One of the things that they understood, though, was this, that it's a mindset. Okay, it's an attitude. It's a belief that ability to learn is not fixed but achieved through effort. Okay. Now, why did I go through all that? We need some grit, people. We do. Can I get an amen? We need some grit in this, you know, grit in this church. We need an attitude and a fortitude, a willingness, and the life. You know, people making life choices that show grit, that show passion, that show perseverance. And again, not necessarily in material success, but in the things of the Lord, of knowing him and the power of his resurrection. Okay. This is the fortitude that Paul is saying that he desires, that he wants, that he has. And so it should reflect on us as well. Okay. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have cried over something that was so hard or threw up, okay? You know, the closest thing for me was in high school, okay? I was a wrestler, though it does not look it like it now, okay? I was a wrestler, and I was okay, okay? But I wanted to be good. I wanted to be great, okay? And there was a guy right below my weight class. You know, in the summer of my senior year, I wanted to go to this weight called, it was 114, okay? I tried desperately because, you know, I was like 120-something, okay? Just normally, okay? And I was just trying to lose those pounds, okay? You know, I would wear a trash bag and run. And after that, I'd go in a sauna, okay? And then I'd come out and I'd run some more, okay? And, you know, there was a few instances when you're on the verge of just crying, okay? Because it hurts so bad, okay? You know, there's a couple times that I just threw up, okay? And mind you, there's nothing inside, okay? Because you can't eat, okay? Because when you're trying to cut weight, right? And yet, I did it. Because I knew the goal. I knew the prize. I knew what I was shooting for. It was 114 pounds, okay? There was a fixed goal there, okay? You know, unfortunately, it didn't happen, okay? I got to 114, but again, there was a guy below me that my senior year, he ended up getting fifth place at the state tournament, okay? California State Tournament, okay? So we wrestled off. So even though that I made weight, he just killed me, okay? So I bumped up to 119, okay? And, you know, we did okay because I was wrestling with a guy that was, you know, close to being state champion, okay? But all to say that we count the cost, right? We do. And we will cry, we will throw up for things that are palatable to us, that we desire, that we know will bring us something, material security, success, whatever it may be, we'll count the cost and we'll do it, okay? And many of you have, okay? Same attitude, though, for Jesus, okay? The goal's always there, you know, right? But we need grit. We need passion. We need perseverance toward the things of Christ. I want to leave you with one final illustration, okay? A couple of weeks ago, Billy Graham passed away, okay? And he is with the Lord now, okay? And I just wanted to kind of eulogize him, okay? Kind of throw out some stats, okay? He was 99 years old when he died, okay? He had met 13 U.S. presidents, from Harry Truman to Donald Trump. He was married 63 years to Ruth before she passed away. He has written 33 books. It is estimated that he has reached 2.2 billion people with his preaching. 215 million is the estimate which he has preached in person. Okay. Another 2.2 million is estimated to those that have responded on those crusades. He preached in over 185 nations and territories. Okay. His radio program was on for 66 years. It's called the Hour of Decision. Okay. He was on the Gallup poll for the most admired man, the top 10, mind you, for 61 years, since 1955 when they started that poll. Okay. And yet this is what his son, okay, says of his father. My father was a humble person. He never saw himself as a celebrity. He just always saw himself as a farm boy from Mecklenburg County. Okay. Let's get to that. Okay, let's get to that place, all of us, where we're seeing ourselves as but ragamuffins who need Jesus every day and want to pursue the things of Christ every day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Could all rise? We'll close. Just bow now and as in the quietness of your own heart as you think about these words from Philippians, just evaluating where you are at in this process of maturity, okay? Lift up a little prayer to the Lord. Ask him to move you toward passion and perseverance, toward grit in the things of Christ. And now, Lord, we come to you. We pray, Lord, that we would have been humbled by your word. We would have been humbled by the life of Paul, that we would have been humbled by his words, and mostly that we would be humbled by Jesus Christ for what he has done. For coming to die, for coming to live a sinless life and dying on a cross to bear the burden and weight of our sin. We pray, Lord, that that would humble us. And now we pray that we would know the power of his resurrection, the very power that you raised him from the dead, now seated on the throne, that we may know that. We pray, Lord, that you would move within us, that our passions would be stoked, that our desire for Christ and the things of Christ would grow, that you would move us from being babes to those that are mature in Christ, so that at the end that we may enjoy you and to give you all glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.